So you know what I love is that as we've been sharing, there's so many truths that everybody has been sharing, and every single one of them are nuggets that we now get to meditate on. Amen. And what I love in this environment, we get so excited, and what happens is that I guess I got this one on now too, right? Okay. So we're doing a test to see if my earrings jangle. I really wanted to wear these earrings today. So, we're gonna get excited up here. But you know, what happens is that we're in this environment and then the enemy will try to say, yeah, but. And he'll bring those but, you know, you still feel sick, and yeah, but you still have pain, and but you didn't see what you wanted to see today. And what we have to do is we have to start being able to respond to the enemy. So we're responding to the enemy not out of fear, but we start responding to the enemy out of the Word of God. And so one of the things that I want to minister on today, and this is something that I've shared before, and we were talking about this in the green room, that many times as ministers, sometimes we'll take for granted and like, oh, you know, you've heard me say this before, and maybe you have. Maybe you've heard me say it before. Maybe you've heard Andrew say it before. But I want to share some things that I think are so important, and I want to talk about peace today. And even we were talking about it up here earlier, being led with peace, that you know that you know. And I think that's the victory. When I start hearing of people that talk about their journeys and they talk about how they've been healed, they come to a place that they know. You know what? I know that I know. And that comes from hearing the Word of God. That's why I want to say thank you. I think it is awesome. I think it's a testimony that you're here. Amen. Because you came to be in the Word of God. You came to put yourself in an environment of faith to hear the Word, so that those things that maybe you've heard before, or maybe brand new things you've never heard before, you can get that I know that I know. And one of my testimonies, and we asked this, you guys asked this of us the other day when we had the panel. How many of you enjoyed the panel? That was great, wasn't it? And so you asked, one of the questions was, you know, share your journey of healing that has been so important. And, you know, one of what I said for my healing journey was that I haven't had this big, massive healing journey, because I did grow up in the Word of God. And that's one of the things that I'm so excited for you as parents and grandparents in this room. You can raise your children and your grandchildren with the truth. So they don't have to be going to healing conferences needing healing. Amen? That your healing and your revelation and your manifestation and your victory and your words of hope and your words of faith are going to help them have a foundation of healing, so that they're not walking sick through the generations of their life. Amen? Through the decades of their life. And so I got a great message growing up of healing, of the finished work of the cross, and that if I was saved, I was healed. And if sickness came, man, I got to rebuke it. And so growing up with that message, praise God, I didn't have sickness. Now, we had things attack our family. We had, my sister got aplastic anemia when she was 9 years old. That was right at the beginning of bone marrow transplants. She had an experimental surgery. I was her bone marrow donor. It was a miracle that I was a match. And so she is alive and healthy and amazing today because of my DNA in her. I always remind her of that. And she's like, yeah, okay, whatever. But there was miracles. You know, I think every single person except for one person in my family rolled a vehicle and should have died. I mean, there was just attacks. There were different things that had happened within our family, but it was like every single time there was attack. That's why talking up here today, when you have different things attacking your family, sometimes you can just start to feel worn down and feel like, well, we're never going to have the victory. No, you have the victory every single time. It was interesting because, you know, using the example of the rollovers, we'd always had these accidents, right? And so when Mike and I got married, he was he got in, he called me one day, he says, hey, Carrie, I just rolled the car. And I was like, oh my gosh, where are you? And he told me where he was, and he was in the same exact spot in the same part of the road that my sister, one of my sisters, my fourth sister, had been thrown and had landed on her head, died 3 times in the flight for life, and they said that she would never recover and that mentally she would always be at a third grade level. And God completely restored her, completely miraculous. And it was interesting because when we went to get Mike, our county ambulance was there, and the car was smashed, except for like this, looked like this hand was over the driver's seat. And it was interesting because one of the ambulance workers, who's somebody I had grown up with all my life, he just said, well, are you going to take this car and tow it back to the farm and put it in your row of death? And literally we had all the cars that we had ever rolled, you know, because, you know, that's what farmers do. We collect junk cars. I may look all spiffy, but I am a redneck. And so we have this line of cars, and there's this car, you know, we put in this. Because you guys, he looked at us, he goes, because you guys never die. Amen. So, you know, when you look at the Word of God, you know, it's just this peace that you can have. I don't care what the storm is going on around me. I have peace on the inside because my God is bigger than any storm. And that's what the Word of God, that's what relationship with God does, is that you begin to have this attitude. So I want to talk about the attitude of peace today. And because sometimes we can think that peace is just like, oh, hallelujah, everything is great. How are you? I'm blessed and I'm good. Right? Peace is not just some fake emotion we're trying to portray. Peace is an attitude. And peace comes out with authority. I am not letting these words steal my peace. I am not letting that report steal my peace. I'm not letting how my body feels right now steal my peace. Because the thing about peace is that peace is a person. Amen? You have the Prince of Peace living on the inside of you. And that who will never leave you or never forsake you. So that means that peace always lives within you. You just got to figure out what you're going to look at. Are you going to look at and are you going to hear what everything is saying? Or are you going to place your heart and your mind on peace? Because it says in the Word of God, our hearts, we can stay in perfect peace. Guys, perfect peace when our mind is stayed on Him. So you and I have a decision. Where are we going to set our mind? I want to read these verses real quick. I have a ton of verses on peace today. And actually, what I want to do is I want to give something away here. Okay. Come on. So I have a devotional called Fighting with Peace. It was a series I did, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 series ago on television. And Fighting with Peace. And it was so funny because I got ready to start this series. It was actually last year, August, I started teaching it. And it was interesting because the day that I started teaching Fighting with Peace and how to stand and walk a life of peace, I took my 7th grader, my daughter, she's going to be 8th grade this year, but 7th grader to school, and she sobbed. Don't leave me. I was like, all of a sudden this anxiousness and this fear and this worry was just coming on my daughter. And I was like, wait a minute. No, you're fine, hon. You know, and this whole series, the enemy was trying to steal my peace by giving my daughter fear and anxiety and worry. Right? And because she was going through it, you know, I was thinking, no, Ellie, you have grace, you have peace in the name of Jesus. You will go out, you will not have fear today. And to the point where like she's crying, we're like, get out of the car. That was hard to do as a mom. Right? No, you have the victory. Get out of the car. Go kick the devil in the butt today. Right? And then going and then needing to teach on peace. As my mom's heart was anxious. And this is what will happen is you start to get worried for other people around you. And it may not even be your battle, but it becomes your battle because now fear and anxiousness is trying to come on you. How many of you have loved ones that they're fighting battles and you struggle with that? You're just trying, you just want so bad for everything to be right. You've taken on the fear and you've taken on the anxiousness and you've taken on the worry thinking somehow you're going to help them. You being anxious and worried and fearful is not going to help your loved one. Amen? And so it's being able to walk in peace. Can I give this to someone who says, I need peace. When we look at this dynamic of peace and God being the Prince of Peace, this is what is amazing. Look at this in John chapter 10, verse 10. We know this verse, but it says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and give it to you with abundance. And I love that last sentence that we said up here, you said up here, that God has more abundant life for you. He has more. Because he wants to do exceedingly above all that you could ask, think, or imagine. So when we talk about peace, when we talk about an attitude of peace, it's when we're standing and saying, you know what? I know that I have this peace. For me, I've walked in peace, but I really had a journey about peace probably, 21? So my sister, and some of you have heard this testimony, my sister, the fourth sister, the same sister that died in the car accident and then was miraculously healed and walked a journey of healing, got COVID. And so she'd had some issues going on with her bowels and different things like that, and just her intestines and things like that. So she was standing for that, but she got COVID. And she went into the hospital. And so, you know, we get to the hospital and we're praying. So we only have one visitor a day for an hour a day, but the nurses just kind of let us in. Some of those incognito Christians, you know, they're like, oh, just go in, you know. And so she got worse and worse and worse and worse. And then she was put on a ventilator. And so then people start telling me, you know, the moment they go on a ventilator, you know, they usually die. And I was like, except for my sister, because remember, we don't die. We don't die in our family. And so went on the ventilator and we just started praising God. Okay, thank you, Jesus. This is going to be amazing. We're going to have peace. She's going to walk. She's going to get healed. Her body is restoring even now. We started speaking words of life over her. But what happened is like every single day she was getting worse and getting worse and getting worse. And so what happens is you have to make a decision. Am I going to go by what I see or what the Word of God says? And so we started putting scriptures. I just sat down and by her bed and I just started putting all these scriptures, you know, and we're having to gown up. You know, I look like Darth Vader in there, you know, with the get up I was wearing. But I was praising God. We had praise and worship music on. We had doctors coming in and saying, you know, we just love coming in this room. And there were doctors that said, I haven't been to church for a long time. And it's just like coming in church in here. Because we had scriptures all over the wall. Julie will live and she shall not die. And she will declare the glory of the Lord. And we just started having all these verses on the wall. And then we started putting on the wall the pictures of her children, with her and her children, because it's like, nurses, you have kids, so does this girl. And so you will speak life over my sister when you're in this room. So, and there were times, you know, again, it looks bad. You know, you can see. I think that's the thing about sickness. When you see with your physical senses, you have to develop that your spiritual sense is stronger than any of your five senses. That what you know that you know is greater than anything you see. So when you see it, then your response is of the Spirit. No, I don't receive this. Because as she was getting puffy and her body was swelling and you know, her feet started to turn in because she started to lose all her muscles in her body. I told her, I said, Julie, I laid hands on you so much, you should have felt violated. I just pulled down the covers. Thank you, Jesus. And I just started on her bowels. I was like, okay, you know, I put my hands all over her body. Why? Because you know what? She's healed and she's whole. And I remember going in there and dancing by her bedside. And you got to make a decision how you're going to respond to the attacks of the enemy. You're either going to let you get you down, or you're going to respond opposite of the world says you have to respond. Yeah. Amen. But I remember still in the middle of this, that gnawing anxiousness, right? Because there's that fear that will still try to be there. And so every time it would come up, I would be praying in tongues. I would be teaching in Bible school, and I'm teaching the students, and in between sentences, I'm shandarabasanda. Because anxiousness was that trying to get on me, let alone my family members. Praise God. And wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, or wake up from the middle of the night to move from one of my kids' beds back down into, thank you. Two, that's it? No. Thank you, solid. And so wake up and just be praying in the spirit, because you can either let your mind go one way, right? And you can start thinking of all those things, and the enemy's right there to give you thoughts. And thoughts will try to paint pictures. And then with those pictures, it activates your imagination. And so I would get thoughts of, okay, so what are you going to do to try to replace, but how to fill in for her kids when she dies? And that'd be a thought that would just come up in the middle of the night. And I would have to start praying in tongues. No, because it was just like, and I remember one time I was just like, wow, I mean, we would just drive down and maybe they could come up here. And then I was just like, whoa, stop putting in place the negative thoughts. Stop planning for those things. And so there was this, again, this anxiousness that was just kind of gnawing at me, right? And the fear that was gnawing on me. But I would just keep speaking against it. No, I rebuke fear. I rebuke these things. And speaking life, we had a family text message that we would just in the morning, we would just be like, hey, today's going to be a great day. Julie's healed. She's whole. We would declare it. It was interesting because when she was in the hospital, she would text me and stuff. So I'd visit her before she went on the ventilator. I would text her, hey, you're healed. You're whole. I would send her scriptures. I would send her link, the live stream, the worship here at Caris. She'd be like, oh, hey, I was watching. This is what the Lord was showing me. She started listening to Healing University. And it was interesting because she started listening to Healing University before she went on the ventilator. She said, Carrie, I knew these things, but I had forgotten them. And she said, even with all the gut issues that were happening, she said, I was just kind of letting it happen. And so what was awesome, she started to get this faith and get it activated, right? So we had been texting each other. And so it was interesting because when she went on the ventilator, her phone went silent, right? Because she was on the ventilator. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep talking to her. And if you go in my messages, I have, okay, because she was on the ventilator and in the hospital, 88 days. And every single, so if you go through her, the text, there's 88 days of long sermons that I preached to my sister while she was on the ventilator. Because I had to make a decision, because I wasn't just preaching to her. Do you guys know that tears are liquid prayers? So I pray a lot. But these are tears of joy. You know, because what you do is you're going to determine, right? Okay, so you're going to have to choose. You're going to have to choose to speak the word or speak death. So I was making, that was an act of faith. I'm going to speak life over her every single day. And when she woke up, she was able to read every single miracle that had happened. Today, they told us this, but today at the end of the day, your blood work came up. Today, they told us this, but this is what we did. Today, we took you off DNR. Today, this is what the doctor said. They couldn't believe it, but you were doing better in this. So she was able to read those because the moment she woke up, she couldn't eat, she couldn't swallow, she couldn't speak, she couldn't walk. And so then it was coming in and she was like, why am I not getting better faster? And I'm like, because now it's your faith. So then my job wasn't to believe for her. My job was to then minister to her so she could be encouraged in her faith. And so she was reading those texts and I said, hey, there's been 88 days of miracles already. Do not think that today's not gonna be a day of miracles. And she was able to go back and see 88 days of miracles and to say, okay, I'm gonna stand for today's miracles. But I remember Mike and I were doing a live Bible study. And again, while we were doing this live Bible study, so we'd had this whole journey with my sister, and we were going through it, and I had said it to the Bible school. Bible school was praying and stuff like that. But I hadn't mentioned it on live Bible study at all. But that day we were talking about peace. And then all of a sudden I kind of shared the story. And this scripture, I want you to turn to this, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and verse 20. It says this, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross." And this was the key. And it was the moment, it was interesting because I was talking about peace on that live Bible study. And I said, man, the peace of God will protect you. And I said this sentence, I said, because peace was an accomplishment of the cross. And I'll tell you this, guys, something clicked inside of me. Now, had I known that? Had I heard that before? Absolutely. But it was something in my knower. It was like, you know what? It's accomplished. Boom. Peace was an accomplishment. Not only was her healing an accomplishment, because that's what we were standing for, but the war that I and the war my family was facing was the fear, was the anxiety, was the worry that was trying to tell us that the healing wasn't ours. Because sometimes what we'll do is like, no, I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm done. And then the fear and anxiousness is trying to be there. And I'll tell you right now, that's your battle right now. That's your battle. You are healed, so now you've got to be able to tell your emotions, no, peace was accomplished. Peace is an accomplishment to your heart today. You do not have to be in fear any longer. You do not have to have worry and anxiousness any longer because peace is something that belongs to you. That's why it says here in John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, "I have said these things to you." Jesus was talking to his disciples. He says that in me, you may have peace. He says, "In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So it means no matter what attack is trying to come you, peace belongs to you today. Amen. Because when you know that peace is an accomplishment, it's done. Then when worry tries to come up, you're like, no. I rebuke worry and fear just like it was a symptom. See, sometimes when a symptom tries to come up, oh man, this headache, I tell it to go in the name of Jesus. And sore throat, I tell you, you can't come on me. And hey, pain in my back, no, I'm healed and whole. You speak to fear and anxiousness and worry the same way. Because it's a symptom of the enemy. It's a symptom of sickness because what it's trying to do is telling you, hey, you need to look at your five senses. In Ephesians chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 17 and then in through 22, the only thing about leaking with my eyes as I leak with my nose. Sorry. It says in Ephesians verse 17, it says that the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And guys, we could talk about that all day. That you've been given a spirit of wisdom and understanding. right? And you may not understand what's happening in your body. You may not understand what the doctor's saying, but you can have a spirit of wisdom and understanding of Christ. And that's all that matters. You don't need to know how everything else works. You just need to know how the Word of God works. And that's why so many people think they got to get educated in their sickness. They got to get educated. They got to prepare to how to deal with it. Listen, we're supposed to have a spirit of wisdom and knowledge in Him. Amen. Going on in verse 18. It says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? And this is what I love about coming together. This is what we're trying to do. Paul's saying, listen, I pray that the eyes of your hearts would be enlightened. That the thing that you needed to hear when you came here, that your heart goes, that's mine. Yeah. When Leonard said this, he said, you know, he had scriptures all over his house. And then he had one. Because what I found... is that you have this relationship with God, this personal dynamic relationship with God. And there's something, there's a rhema word, there's a promise that you take and you said, this is mine. That's why, can I say this? That's why everybody's healing journey is a little different. Someone says, oh, it was this verse and after this verse, I had it. So you run to that verse and you're like, and it's the truth. But there's something that God is speaking to you that you hold on to. That becomes your sword. And with this peace, then what begins to happen is you begin to have an attitude because you start using that word. Excuse me? No. This is my promise. This belongs to me. And it's not a promise we're wielding around in the air like it's too heavy for us, like, take off somebody's arm. No, it becomes something that you're able to use against the enemy. No, that lie doesn't work because this is what God has spoken to me. When you talk about peace having an attitude, right? You fight with peace. No. Who do you think you are, devil? It was interesting. Somebody had once, I was reading a leadership book one time, and they said, if you could describe yourself in one word, what would it be? And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, and I had a word in my head. So I asked Mike, I said, if you could be described in one word, how do you think you would be described? And he said, teachable. And I was like, oh, that was my word. It really was. Because I'm not smart enough not to be teachable. I better be teachable. And so I was like, okay, I have to have a new word. And I was like, okay, well, Lord, what else? And I was like, submitted. I'm submitted to God's word. I'm submitted to God's timing. I'm submitted to God's will. I'm submitted to God's way. And I'm submitted to the leaders in my life. And I'm submitted to my husband. Okay, that's a good word. So yesterday, the Lord said, can I give you a new word? And I was like, okay. And he said, attitude. Because something in my relationship with God continues to grow. And that is an attitude. Because when you know that you're loved of God, and when you know how God sees you, then you start to have an attitude. You start to have an attitude about your God. My God is good. And nothing's going to convince me that my God is not good. Amen. You start to have an attitude about yourself. You know what? I'm loved. I'm awesome. So many of you are going, oh, that works for them, but not for someone like me. Well, that's when you need to start understanding. That's why we've been talking about spirit, soul, and body. When you understand who you are in the spirit, soul, and body, that you have been given so much. This is what Paul was saying. He said, I pray that you would understand what you possess in Christ Jesus. Because when you do that, you start to have an attitude. You know what? This is not going to be stolen from me. This is mine. It's like what he was saying today. Johan, hey, devil comes in my house. I'm going to beat him. Excuse me? You don't come in my house, right? You start to have an attitude against the devil, and it's an attitude of thanksgiving. It's an attitude of joy. It's an attitude of confidence, and it becomes an attitude of authority. Devil, who do you think you are? I am a child of the Most High God. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. You cannot touch my body. Devil, you're a loser. Amen. So I have a confession. So we were in a team meeting with Andrew. And Andrew says something that I was like, oh my gosh, I'm horrible. He said, you know, Carrie, he said, I never used to say the word but, like B-U-T-T. He said, I used to never say the word but. Because I remember one time he said something about something, some kicking something in the butt. And I remember taking notice, like, I've never heard Andrew say the word but before. And he then says, you know what? He said, I started saying the word but because I hang around you all the time, Carrie. He's pointing at me going, it's true. And I thought, oh my gosh, I have been a bad influence on Andrew Walmack. That is so sad. I was like, and I remember thinking, he says, you say but every hour. And I was like, okay, challenge accepted. I was like, I walked out of that meeting and said, I'm not going to say but again. I'm not going to say but. Nope, I'm done. I'm done saying but. And this young girl came up to me, and I've been ministering to her and for a while in school. And so the enemy's just been trying to come over her. And so she came up, she said, oh, Carrie, I'm struggling with depression and some suicidal thoughts again. I was like, hey, no. You were anointed to kick the devil in the butt. It hadn't been 15 minutes. And I was like, okay, it's part of how I talk about the devil. Because I'm sorry, I can't talk about the devil and not say the word but. Because you are anointed with an attitude to defeat the enemy. Amen. And you have this attitude. You know, I am loved of God. So going on here in Ephesians. So it says here in verse, again, 18, having the eyes of your heart enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. See, there's a hope to which he has called you. And I'll tell you, what God's vision for your life is not one of sickness. There's a hope that you have been called to look like and be the light of the world, look like Christ. You are called to this life that's not filled with sickness. Amen. So he said, I want you to understand the hope that I've called you to. See, he's wanting you to have your imagination activated that you can see the life that he has for you. Not what sickness has tried to write, not the pictures that the doctors have tried to tell you. I think it's interesting in so many of the testimonies people have said, they told me that I would have to always expect this. It would always be like that. Just to plan for this. Guys, I'm telling you, people are trying to make declarations over your life. And you have to decide, are you going to receive the declarations of the word or the declarations of the people around you? Then it goes on to say, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? Not for the saints. You don't have this inheritance one day, someday, hopefully today. No, it's in the saints. You have that because you have the Spirit of God inside of you. Amen. You have the fullness of the Godhead bodily living inside of you. That means nothing is missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. Whether that is healing for your body or you need healing in your marriage. You need healing in your finances. How many of you have seen your finances just go haywire and it seems broken and then it seems impossible that you would ever walk out of debt? Anyone like that today? All right, God wants to heal your finances just like he wants to heal your body. Just like he forgave you of your sins, because the thing is that peace is a person. But healing is a person. Jehovah Rapha, he is the Lord God, your healer. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, your provider. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord God, your peace. That fullness of who he is lives within you today. And that revelation changed my life. that the person, the fullness of God lived inside of me. Not like, oh yeah, Jesus lives inside of me and then I've got to figure out all the rest of this myself. No, the person of Jesus wants to roar out of our lives. That means when sickness, because this is what we do so many times, I'm sick and I'm trying to get healed. And so Father, when we're trying to pull down this revelation, we're trying to pull down this anointing, we're trying to pull in this manifestation, right? So Lord, come heal my body, not realizing that healing is a person and he lives inside of you. So I used to see myself sick, trying to get God to heal me. And then I started understanding the true nature of God. I started understanding who he really was and the fullness of who he was within my life. So now I am the healed, right? This is why you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are wall to wall healing right now. If you look at yourself, you are filled with this absolute radiant power of the person of healing. Wall to wall, top of your head, to the bottom of your toes, inside, outside, everything. Every thought, every organ, every function, every breath, every pulse of your heart and every pulse of your blood, you are filled with healing today. Because when you say you've already got it, it wasn't that you just received healing. You received and invited in the healer. So now he is resident within your life. That's why you've already got it, because you are filled with Jesus. You don't have healing today if you don't have Jesus. Because he's not, you haven't received him. Now, can he heal unbelievers? Absolutely. Because that's such a dinner bell. And we say, okay, now come into relationship. But you are filled with healing today. You've already got it. So now, all of a sudden, my perspective of healing changed. I'm not the sick trying to get well. I am the healed, kicking the butt of sickness out of my life. Amen. And I'm gonna have an attitude as I'm kicking him out. I remember, I think I've shared this before, but it just, there's something when you start to have an attitude of authority, it's how you approach things. That's what I love yesterday when we talked about the first response, how you respond to something immediately. Living in a little tiny community, little tiny town, Kit Carson, I was born and raised in Colorado, and town of 350 people. So this tornado siren goes off. And, you know, mom, dad, they're locking up the doors of our gas station. We had a gas station convenience store. We're shutting off the gas pumps. Dad's like, get down to your grandma's. So my great grandma had a basement. We did not. And so mom and dad are like, you guys get down there. And so all the kids are running. And I realize my sister, Julie, also the fourth sister, same sister, she's in the trailer house at the back of our property. It was kind of where we would go to rest during the day if we were working different shifts and stuff. And so I realized, oh my gosh. And she's young, so she's not understanding what's this siren going off. And besides, she was watching TV, so she really wasn't listening to the siren going off. And I remember opening the back door, and it looked like this tornado was right behind the trailer house. Now it was about a quarter mile off, which is not far, but it is out of town. But it was coming straight for town, and it was heading straight towards our business, and it was heading straight towards my sister in that trailer. And I remember my first response was, I ran towards it. And I yelled and I screamed, and I was probably 14 at the time. And I ran and I screamed towards it, you will not destroy this town. You will not have our business, and you will not have my sister in Jesus' name. And I was cursing that thing and I was running towards it. Now, did I go into the trailer house and just sit on the couch? No, I grabbed my sister when we ran to grandma's. But the whole time I'm like, did you hear me? Amen. You gotta, determine what attitude you're going to run towards things with. No. Who? No, I tell you right now, sickness. And so in those symptoms, and especially when that lack of peace and that worry comes up, right? When that worry comes up, you're saying, no, this is not mine. As you turn to the verse here, let me find it here. I have so many verses, but I want you guys to get this devotional because it has these verses in every single day. Okay, how do I use peace and start speaking to these symptoms and signs? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 says, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." I'll tell you that the fear of man will lay a snare, and sometimes it's not even your own fear, it's the fear of the people around you. What's going to happen? What if this doesn't work? The doctor said, you're not supposed to be doing this. Why are you going to Colorado? You are not healthy enough, right? And sometimes that will lay a snare and you say, no, I'm trusting in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 4. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come to you with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. And you know you are saved. So you're like, hey, I don't have to worry. God literally rides in on a white horse. He's saving me. Don't worry. You know, you may see this. Don't worry. Just watch and see what God does. That's how you respond also to the people around you. That's one of the ways you fight with peace. I'm not letting your anxiousness and your fear steal my peace today. No. Just wait. Just you wait and watch what God does. I like what Andrew says. He goes, you just hide. You just hide and wait. And when God shows up, you'll see. You can stay over there, but I'm not letting that come upon me. And that's one of the things that's really important in our journey and watching this healing be manifest. Because it's not just supposed to be manifest in our body. Guys, it's supposed to be manifested through our words. Yeah. Healing gets manifested through our words because we now are speaking our victory forth. And we're telling people what we have. We're telling people what belongs to us, right? We're making plans. That was one thing about my sister. There were a number of things we did. It was around the holidays. There were a number of things we did as traditions as family. You know, we made candy. We'd make like 4,000 pieces of candy every Christmas. And so it's like, well, what do we do? Oh, we'll just put it off. We'll put it off until when Julie gets out. There are different things that it was like, okay, what do we do? Oh, and we made plans and we put into motion when she was out. Okay, well, I'll just bump that reservation down. We'll just make plans for this. Oh, and we talked in a way like, okay, well, when Julie's out of the hospital, we'll do this. And oh, you know what, guys? And I would talk to my kids. Oh, well, when Julie gets out, we'll have the cousins and we'll do this. We began prophesying. We began prophesying what we were going to see, what we were going to experience, what God was going to do so that everybody heard it. See, so many times people are afraid to speak because they're not quite sure if it's going to happen. And so we're like, I want to say it, but I don't know. And I don't know what people are going to think if she gets worse. I don't care what people are going to think. I'm going to declare what God has said. Amen. So you can say, watch and see what my God's going to do. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 14, it says this. In righteousness, you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. And you know what's powerful about that? Yes, we have victory over fear. And yes, we have victory over oppression. And yes, those things, there's this protective that those things are not going to touch us. But you know what's powerful about that verse? It says, in righteousness, you are established. You are established. And this was talking about righteousness. You shall be. Because of Jesus, you are established in righteousness. You have the righteousness of God, the perfect fullness of the Godhead bodily living you, the perfect holiness, the perfect healing, the perfect everything of God living inside of you today. You are established in righteousness. You are not broken, weak, immature, ignorant Christian. Because that's how sometimes old people think, like, well, oh, I mean, yes, it works for Carly and it works for Audrey and it works for Andrew, because, you know, they're mature Christians. Well, let me tell you right now, you are You are mature in this sense. You have the fullness of God inside of you. There's not a baby Jesus living inside of you. Amen. The fullness, the lion of the tribe of Judah lives inside of you. Right? The person of righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord God, our righteousness, he lives within you. Now what you and I get to do is what we were talking about here in Ephesians. Lord, let the eyes of my heart be enlightened. Let me understand the hope to which you've called me. Lord, let me see the righteous, glorious, amazing inheritance I already possess in Christ Jesus. According to what? His power that works within you. Praise God, there's his power today working inside of you. You are established in righteousness. So fear, you get to rebuke fear just like you rebuke any other symptom. Amen? You get to rebuke anxiousness. My sister got out of the hospital. She started walking again, talking again. She was healed of the bowel, all the bowel issues and all the stuff. Enemies tried to bring stuff back, but she's been standing. And you know, can I say this? That was a huge part of our journey of just standing and ministering to each other. Our family was ministering to each other in the midst of this. Just kind of like Roland's testimony there. Just this Leonard. I keep calling you Roland. I'm sorry. I've done it for years. You are now Doth Roland. So when Leonard was talking, this aspect of encouraging each other in the family. And that's what we were doing. We were speaking words of life. So when one of us was down, we picked each other up. But what I thought was really powerful in this journey, and I'm going to make a plug for something here, is that my brother-in-law hadn't grown up with a lot of the faith message, grew up in church, but the you've already got it message didn't have. And he was driving from his farm with the kids up to the hospital here in Colorado Springs an hour and a half every day to be with my sister on the days that I wasn't, right? So we were all taking turns. And so he started listening to Healing University. So he's listening to Healing University on the way up and Healing University on the way back. And as much as a miracle of my sister getting off of COVID was watching my brother-in-law's relationship with God absolutely transform. And getting those text messages, praise God, this is, she's healed today. And it was just like, it was so exciting because we started joining our faith together. And I tell you this, that what I love about what we're doing here at Charis with the Healing Discipleship Program is that, you know, sometimes people will get to such a place in their journey. The symptoms are so bad. They're weak. They're so weak. It's not just one little message. There is a consuming of the word that needs to happen. And can I encourage you right now that it is worth the effort and the time, whether you come to Bible school or you go out and you get Healing University and you start putting that word in and you start reminding, you start telling fear and you start telling worry and you start telling those symptoms, no, this is what the word of God says. You start to develop your spiritual muscles to be able to speak to those things. I want to invite you guys to get that. That is less expensive than a doctor bill. And way less expensive than a funeral. Amen? Just like Relationship University is way less expensive than a divorce. Yes. Guys, you and I get to put the word of God in. I want us to stand because I just want to pray over you for an attitude. Did you leave here with an attitude? You know what? I'm loved of God. You know what? I know who I am. I know God's within me. That was one of the things we've all been talking about, is all the teachers, that sickness tries to tell you what your identity is. You are sick. You are bald. You have cancer. You're an invalid. You're incurable. You know, what sickness tries to do, it tries to give you excuses. Excuses to be sick, to be lonely, to be cranky, to be mean. Like, well, I'm just mean and cranky because I've got cancer. No, not at all. You don't let those things tell you how your attitude is going to be. So we're going to tell the enemy with an attitude that he is defeated. And it's not just you do it here and we stand. You need to have that attitude throughout your day. Thank you, Lord. This day is victorious. I don't care what comes against me today. You don't speak that way when it comes. You speak it before it comes. You know what? My day is filled with joy. This day, you know what? This day is filled with thanksgiving. And if you find yourself moaning and complaining, you stop and go, no, no, I'm going to have an attitude about this. No way can you steal my joy. No way can you steal my peace. So let's raise our hands. Father, we just thank you that you filled us with the lion of the tribe of Judah and that we get to roar with an attitude towards anything that comes against us. So we're telling the devil right now, we are loved of God. We are filled with the Spirit of God. We are filled with righteousness today. And we have authority. And so now we say with peace, it is mine. It is done. Devil, you are defeated. You have no authority. You have no place. And we kick you in the butt. In Jesus' name.